Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. In 2008, we launched the Greener Cow Project, the first program in North America to decrease greenhouse gases caused by cows' burps. If all U.S. dairies did this, it would be like taking 500,000 cars off the road each year. Find out more at stonyfield.com.
The first industrial revolution was fueled by coal and steam. The second revolution by oil and the automobile. And according to social philosopher Jeremy Rifkin, we're on the cusp of another industrial revolution, this one powered by renewable energy and communication technology. Writing in his new book, The Third Industrial Revolution, Jeremy Rifkin argues the shift will be socially disruptive, but ultimately rewarding. Jeremy Rifkin recently spoke with Living on Earth's Steve Curwood.
So your concept of the third industrial revolution hinges on the convergence of what? Two things, new energy and communications systems. And if you could explain for us how a new energy and communications paradigm worked out during the first industrial revolution, that would be helpful.
In the first industrial revolution in the 19th century, print technology became very cheap. That combined with public schools. We introduced public schools in Europe and America in the 19th century and created a print-literate workforce with those communication skills to manage the complexities of a coal-powered, top-down, steam-driven first industrial revolution.
In your book, you say in many ways the idea of a centralized top-down power began with the Pennsylvania Railroad Company in the late 1800s.
Yeah, that was the model, really, because remember, railroads had to rely on storage of coal across the country and seeding public lands and huge logistics issues in maintaining where the rail cars were and where they were going. It was very complicated. And they created the first centralized top-down business model.
So now let's go to the second industrial revolution. What changes in communication? What changes in energy? And what happens to mobility?
The second industrial revolution brought a new convergence of communication and energy. The telephone was essential. Centralized electricity and the telephone allowed us to connect across dispersed space across the continent in very, very quick time. And then later, radio and television became the communication media to manage and market a more dispersed auto era based on oil-powered fuels and a suburban rollout, which was much more dispersed, and a mass consumer society. They went hand in hand. A handful of oil companies emerged. We had a handful of public utilities, and we began to see the outlines of what would be the most centralized top-down economic model in history. And that system right now is really on life support and dying. And I think it's probably precipitated why a lot of young people are pretty upset on the streets.
So we had a first industrial revolution with coal. You say we're at the end of the next industrial revolution that we had with oil and gas, and now we're moving into a third industrial revolution, which you say is based on lateral power. What is this third industrial revolution?
The third industrial revolution sees the merging of our new communication revolution, the internet, with our new energies, renewable distributed energies. And when the internet communication technology begins to manage these distributed renewable energies, we have a very powerful third industrial revolution. What's really interesting about renewable energies is they are distributed, meaning they're found in every square inch of the world in some frequency, the sun, the wind, the geothermal heat under the ground. So unlike fossil fuels, which are our lead energies and only found in a few places and require top-down organization, renewable energies are distributed and found in everyone's backyard.
What you're saying the third industrial revolution is all about is renewable energy and making it possible for us to use this in a collaborative rather than a top-down way. And then the other factor for this, you say, is this will also get us out of the boom and bust cycle. That is, the sun, the wind, these are continual.
Better said than I could have. I think the key here is it's a sea change in thinking between an older and younger generation. Let me use the music companies as an analogy. They did not understand file sharing of music. When millions of young kids started figuring out ways to create software to share their music around the world, the music companies thought it was a joke. Then they were terrified. Then they went out of business. The newspapers similarly did not understand the lateral power of the blogosphere. Millions of people coming together in things like Wikipedia or in social spaces to create their own information and news. And now newspapers are either going out of business or creating blogs.
You know, you're talking about lateral power taking over, but you spend much of your book describing how the Third Industrial Revolution is being imposed really in a top-down way in Europe. Important ministers, high government officials, seems like a contradiction.
What's happening is the top-down is actually being pushed by the bottom-up. What's happened across Europe, especially beginning with the discussions on climate change, is millions of people said, we've got to do something. And they started pushing for feed-in tariffs so they could get premium for converting their buildings, sending power back to the grid. People began talking about how local communities can begin organizing for energy efficiencies and began to share energy with surrounding communities. So there's been a tremendous push from the bottom to make this happen. And yes, then the politicians responded. So I think, yeah, it's bottom up, it's top down, it's everybody.
And so how is America responding to your vision?
Well, a lot of the old industries, especially the energy industries, have a huge sway in Washington. They're an obstacle, but I think history's on the side of moving into this new model. The question is, can America move fast enough? During this upcoming political year, what everyone has to ask themselves is, how the hell do we grow an American economy based on old energies that have peaked, prices going up, climate change impacting us now, and old infrastructure? There's just no way to do it.
Your vision here is what, a 50-100-year plan? How do you implement that with a political system that can't see past the next election?
Very tough. If we don't change consciousness, we're not going to get there. What we need is to shift from geopolitics to biosphere consciousness. Before the Industrial Age, every community, whether they were foraging, hunting, or agriculturalists, had to rely on the rhythms of nature. When we went to the first and second Industrial Revolution, we saw this stored chunk of sun, coal, oil, gas, and we thought we could hermetically seal ourselves off from nature and create an unlimited cornucopia of wealth. It was an illusion. When we go to a third Industrial Revolution, for example, where this is moving in Germany and Europe, people in their homes, offices, and buildings, they're totally attuned on the software to what's going on moment to moment with the solar radiance outside the building. What's happening to the heat under the ground when they change seasons for their geothermal heat pump? What's happening to the garbage that's decomposing in the basement in their bioconverter? So we become intimately aware that each day we are attuned and re-embedded in the rhythms of the planet we live in. That's biosphere consciousness. And the question is, if we don't do this, what's plan B?
Well, Jeremy Rifkin, I want to thank you for taking this time with me today.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Jeremy Rifkin's new book is called The Third Industrial Revolution: How Lateral Power is Transforming Energy, the Economy, and the World. I'm Steve Kerwin.